Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones, and little brother Sean joining us here from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Follow us across our social media on Twitter. Find Alex at TW Callahan DHS. You can find me at Bills Bruiser. Find Sean at Michigan Surf. Find the site at DHS Buffalo, DraftHouseSports.com, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. All right. Here we are, gentlemen. We're into round two of Squish the Fish, and right now we have a sizable lead here in the division. The Bills have the same amount of wins as the rest of the division combined. I don't know. Before we get into Buffalo, Alex, Sean, I mean, did you fathom the AFC East being this bad right now outside of Buffalo?
No, obviously not. Go ahead, Alex.
No, go ahead, Sean.
Okay. No, obviously not. Obviously, with Miami's injuries and Tua going out for almost 6 weeks, yeah, it's definitely hurt them. And the Jets, well, the Jets are the Jets.
Yeah. Alex?
Yeah, I think obviously Miami, everybody kind of said, which kind of we knew was on Tua's health, right? They hinged solely on that. And I always felt like they were a paper tiger, you know, something that they look terrifying, but then you start digging at it, you're like, they really haven't improved the O-line at all. They really haven't done, like, they added some flashy pieces, but they didn't really add anything substantial. And Aaron Rodgers getting older, coming off an Achilles injury, which is always incredibly hard to come back from. Even for young players, it's, you know, it takes time to come back from, and we've seen guys never look the same, i.e. Tre'Davious White. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's, you kind of expected it out of the Patriots, and a lot of pundits thought the Bills were in for a horse race, and we still could be, you know, things could get weird, but I don't know. I didn't expect.
Well, I don't know. Does the Jets, either of you guys, if you remember when, I can't remember the player, it escapes me offhand, but in 2010, they're like, oh yeah, the Eagles were the dream team this year, because they did have a fantastic offseason, and they kind of fell flat on their faces. Feels a little bit like
oh
that.
Oh my gosh. He was the cornerback from the Raiders. He was super good.
It escapes me.
Who was it?
It wasn't not... Asamoah, was it?
It was Nnamdi Asamoah.
Was it Vince Young? Vince Young is the guy who said it. Vince Young is the one who called it the dream team.
Yeah.
Yep. Crazy.
And it was 20. It was a crazy time.
Summer of 2011. That's what it was.
DRC, Jason Babin, Nnamdi Asamoah. Like, It was a huge spending spree, and they just fell apart.
And I heard Damian Woody put it out there the other day, and I don't disagree that the Jets are just a roster at this point. They're not a team; they're just players.
Yeah, that is the craziest part. You're exactly right, Brad. That they're just players. It's not, you know, based around anything at all. You could see some players that they brought in this offseason. Mike Williams could be headed out the door, depending on how he plays Thursday night.
Well, let's look at the Bills then, who are not a roster. They feel very much like a team. The way they came in were, you know, I'm always nervous, Alex. It's been well established on this podcast. But they went into Seattle, and they owned, even with that interception, defense held, did their job, stopped them on fourth down. They get the ball back and march down and get a touchdown. Start to finish. I mean, domination.
Start to finish, it was just domination. Yeah, like you said, Brad, just domination. Felt like there was never a time the Bills were out of it. You know what I mean?
Not at any point. Josh with a good night there. 24 of 34 passing, 283. First INT of the year, but two touchdowns. Cook, over 100 yards on the ground. Two scores from him. Khalil Shakir, 9 receptions on 10 targets, 107 yards. These guys are coming into their own. Keon Coleman had 70 yards and a beautiful one-handed score in the end zone. Let's talk about the rookie. Let's talk about Keon, the first pick of the Bills this year, first pick out of the second round, and he is getting better and better by week, and I think the addition of Amari Cooper is definitely helping, just absorbing some of that secondary.
Yeah, I completely agree, Brad. You can see those small craft things, and I think he's getting used to this. He was getting used to the NFL style play. It took him a minute.
Yeah, definitely. It took him some time to get caught up, but it's definitely that cliche in the media, what they're saying. It's like, I can't believe we let the Bills get Keon Coleman. And really, right now, it's not showing to be a cliche with his last two games having 70 yards, one touchdown, and over 100 yards in the Titans game.
Yeah, Keon is catching fire at the right time. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, and that was the, I think it was almost the perfect, the exact thing the Bills needed. You know, they needed that guy who could go get the ball, who Josh can kind of put it in his frame, and who doesn't drop the ball in important moments.
Yeah, Josh has never really had that one-on-one guy who can get that 50-50 ball. Kind of that Megatron-esque, it's like, I'm going to toss it up in his zone, and he's going to get it. So definitely seeing Keon come up with, especially with that touchdown grab he had against the Seahawks, yeah, definitely it's looking good for Josh Allen having a good number one receiving target.
Yep. Talked about Amari Cooper a little bit here. Only had one reception for 3 yards, but you know what? It didn't matter. He doesn't have to catch the ball at any point during the game as far as I'm concerned. If he just absorbs that coverage, wonderful. If Keon's going to attract it, then maybe he gets open. Just having him on this roster, on the field at the same time, I think I heard 35 snaps. Not a bad outing for him. Just having him as a body out there to absorb coverage has been huge. And I sure, teams are going to get wise. I'm going to have to make some changes here. But so far, Joe Brady has drawn up a really strong offense at this point.
Yeah, and what we've seen from the scheme, too, has been very tailored to their opponent. You know, it seemed almost a little bit like, outside of the Baltimore game, which nobody really showed up for. You know, none of the players really were ready for that game. The offense has been absolutely humming.
Yeah. Yep, it took time. I mean, they had their rough weeks. We already talked about Baltimore and their loss to Houston after the fact. But since those two games, they've been humming. They were humming before there, and now they got some good pieces. And, I mean, it's looking well. It's clicking. Defensively in this one, Bobby Babich on the other side, his defense played stout in this one, only allowed 32 yards rushing. I know Geno had over 200 yards. A lot of that came in garbage time. Bills defense held their own. A touchdown in garbage time. Defense looked good in this game.
Yeah, they did. They looked phenomenal, and especially with a unit that's missing some important pieces. I believe in this game, no Terrell Bernard, no Vaughn Miller, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's one of those times where having those guys step up when they did, having Dorian Williams and Baylen Specter play really well was a huge boost against a team that is a very talented Seattle team.
And Dorian Williams is starting to look really good in pass protection, but pass rush. He's gotten at the quarterback a few times, and I'm starting to see him develop more and more. And just the way Bills are developing linebackers right now, it's just confidence and Sean McDermott's ability to just build up players and not have to draft these superstars every year.
AJ Epenesa too. He's been a beast.
Yeah.
Getting him in the backfield and causing pressure. The job that he's been doing on the field is huge. That re-signing looks sharp right now. And I want to pause a second here and talk about a guy who's not here. Trey White, the Bills knew it was time to cut ties. We've talked about it countless times here. The injuries all mounted up at the point that the Rams are looking for potential trade partners. If I was Buffalo, absolutely not. No, nostalgia is great. No, we love Trey, but No, we don't. Unless he wants to play safety, I don't know. We're not really hurting at safety either right now. Not necessary at this time.
Well, the thing is, too, is unfortunately, like, we all love Trey White, but just Father Time has caught up with him.
Yeah.
You know, time comes for us all, and unfortunately so, it really caught up with him after those multiple injuries, the ACL and then the Achilles. It just tore him apart, and he just hasn't looked the same.
Yeah, no, you hate to see that to a great Bill, especially one like him who is very much an entertaining figure on the field. And, yeah, I still remember that moment of him picking up the play sheet from the opposing team and just like, hey, what we got here?
Yeah, some great moments of Trey, a true character, a fun guy to have in the locker room. The Trey with Goalie Academy, but nope, he's not on this roster. Christian Benford has held his own at corner. And then Rasul Douglas, who was a huge pickup, who really came in to compensate for Trey's loss last year. He nearly had that pick early on in this first quarter, but they were super duper close on getting him a pick this year. But between the corner there and then the depth they have behind it, I really like the secondary right now at the corner positions at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Corner, honestly, safety too. I mean, I know Cole Bishop, Mike Edwards waiting in the wings in case anything happens. But Rapp and DeMar Hamlin played super well Sunday as well. I mean, they just went out there and they just played an excellent game of football. Like, they just put together a great game.
How about Austin Johnson too? Not only did he get his first NFL interception, but his first interception ever. They said they went back to Pee-wee, to high school, to college, never had an interception until last Sunday in Seattle. Fantastic.
Yeah, and this depth along the defensive line, Greg Rousseau has quietly led the NFL in pressures in the past month or so since Swan Miller's been out and since he's been only dedicated to left end. He has led the NFL in pressures, which is really interesting because the sack numbers aren't there, but he's causing havoc and he's really getting after it. And then you start to notice like, oh, yeah, he's getting double teamed a lot too. He's taking the pressure away from everybody else. And you know what? A healthy Ed Oliver, healthy Daquan Jones and AJ Epenesa, like that D-line has really come together well.
The only question mark I thought in this game for the Bills was Codrington's performance. Brandon Codrington had a punt where he could have let go in the end zone. Fielded, brought it out. What, they get to the 12-yard line. There was a punt late where he could have fielded it. He let it go, and it went all the way back to the 30. There were some questionable things. I know he had a nice return in there at one point, but I thought if there's anything that could improve slightly, it was Codrington. But, I mean, he's been consistent throughout the start of the season. That's not a concern. It was just the results on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think he might have just been doing too much. You know, when you finally get that opportunity, right? Like, he's been waiting and waiting. People don't really kick to him because he is a pretty prolific kick returner. So when people don't really kick to you and you finally get a team, you're like, oh, wait, they're giving me an opportunity? I got to take it. And then he probably got instructed, like, hey, don't rush it. And all of a sudden, then he's like, well, you know, just getting that young. He's still a rookie. You know, you forget. He is a rookie undrafted free agent, and so there's going to be those rookie mistakes.
Any other final thoughts on this win? 31-10, Buffalo gets it done over Seattle.
Just a classic Bills whole team win.
Yeah, just everybody. It's kind of Keon definitely ate, but so did everybody else. Granted, we didn't get Amari going as much once. And, of course, Josh's one interception was against that kind of slipped route where Amari kind of slipped on the route and kind of opened up the defender to come and take that ball away from Josh. So other than that, it was a great game.
All right. Well, Buffalo, 31-10. They get it done there at Lumen Field up there in Seattle. They improved to 6-2. Seattle drops to 4-4. And we will now go flip our week to Squish the Fish. And before we get into the game, we want to let you know about a little fundraiser we have going on this weekend. Kyle Doust is a resident of Niagara Falls, New York. He is 2 years old, and he was recently diagnosed this fall with retinoblastoma cancer. It's of the eye. He's going through chemo right now. He's eventually going to lose an eye, unfortunately. And so we're doing a fundraiser. $1 a whack on a fish.
Yeah, we are making... I am currently in the process of making giant Swedish fish. Yeah, it's definitely a messy process, but it is definitely worth it. So come out, be merry, and come and squish the fish with us.
We'll be right off of Big Tree Road, right near 5304 Big Tree. You'll find us there. We'll have a table, potentially a tent set up, but we'll be there. We'll have mallets, and you can just go and whack the crap out of some fish.
That's awesome, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, man.
That is coming up this weekend. We'll be there 9 to 11, but at 1 o'clock, the fish are coming in to Western New York, and... excuse me. The fish are coming into Western New York, and right now it's do-or-die time. Does that put any scare in you at all for the Bills that basically... this is their Super Bowl at this point. They have to come in here and get a W.
I mean, yeah, it's also a division game. It's a division rival. Two teams that know and do not like each other. You know, it's not the level of the hatred of the Jets. But it's, you know, these teams know what's on the line. They absolutely do know what's on the line. And both teams are kind of coming in like, hey, this is a must-win game. The Bills win this, and essentially it kills the Dolphins' season. Like, you're ending their season before it begins. And the Dolphins, it's a last chance, the last gasp.
Yeah, the Dolphins need to pretty much win out here to get to at least 11-6. And, yeah, it's like if they have maybe a 10-7 team can maybe make a wild card spot. But I don't know. I don't see Miami coming into Buffalo, especially after the loss we handed them in Miami. That game was well over before Tua was concussed. The Bills were kind of coasting off their scores from the first half and just running the ball. I'm really not too scared of the Dolphins, even with Tua back.
Last time the Dolphins won in Western New York, Christmas Eve, 2016, Miami won 34-31. I remember being very angry that Christmas Eve. Dan Carpenter missed a field goal that could have tied it. Yeah, they lost. But you know what? They haven't won in Western New York since. That's crazy to even consider at this point.
It is. And I mean, I think we're like two weird glitch games away from Josh Allen being undefeated against the Dolphins for his entire career.
Well, he did have a loss there where he missed Charles Clay in South Beach, and they lost. That was his rookie year. That was his only one, right?
No.
The other one was the Sun.
Oh, the Heat game in 22. Yes, row. Yes. Yeah. So if I went back in time here, I'd say 2017, when they won here in Buffalo, that was Kyle Williams' last game, and Josh had an incredible day running the football because our offensive line was still crap then. 2018, that was a bad run. No, 2018 was a team that... I'm not going to...
2017
was Cutler was a quarterback of Miami, and they came here, and that was the year the Bills ended the drought.
Yes.
Yep. 2018 was the game I alluded to. 2019,
yep.
Beat them, so forth and so on. So it's been a long time. They beat them twice here in 22. At home, or technically 23 in January, it was in the playoffs. That was way closer for comfort than it should have been. But Buffalo's had success against this team down here. The weather, it's been fantastic. Anyone who is not in Western New York, I tell you what, it's been just gorgeous weather up here. It's, what was it? We just ran out to the store. 73 degrees here on a Saturday night. That's crazy. Well, temperature is supposed to get a lot colder. Halloween's going to be nice, but after Halloween, it's going to cool down here. It should be a lot cooler this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully we don't get it. There were saying possible rain for forecast, but I think they pushed that to Monday. So hopefully we don't get any rain, and we can see Josh throw the ball a good bit. Especially, I don't know, we'll see how Jalen Ramsey looks, if he's going to play much. But I think Josh Allen definitely has a chance to carve them up. Or they looked great running the ball also against them last time. So we'll see. Maybe James Cook can put up 100 against them.
And I believe the Dolphins have had a couple of injuries along that defensive line unit as well. You know, this isn't the same unit they faced off against.
We'll cover injuries here shortly. The forecast for Sunday, partly cloudy skies, 55 degrees. Doesn't look like it's going to be super windy, but that changes at the stadium, the way that wind swirls around there. So that could be very well different at this point. But let's run through the injury report. For the Buffalo Bills, only one player didn't play. Alec Anderson had a personal issue. He did not practice. Josh was a full participant. Christian Benford was a full participant. Spencer Brown, Codrington, on and on and on and on. Limited participants today, okay? Terrell Bernard was limited with the ankle pectoral injury. Hopefully he's on the mend. We'll see him back. Amari Cooper, I heard that he wasn't going to practice, and I guess they must have decided not good to go. He was limited today with a wrist injury. Reggie Gilliam with a hip injury, he was limited. Damar Hamlin, ankle. Mac Hollins, everyone else was full participants here. Curtis Samuel was limited with the pectoral injury. I don't know. Is he an afterthought at this point? Am I crazy?
Yeah, he seems to be like a little bit, you know. I don't want to say that because I feel like this is like what Belichick would do, right? They sign a receiver and everyone's like, oh, well, he hasn't done anything. And then he goes for like a 200-yard game, you know?
So we just have yet to see his breakout. I could get on board with that. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's just the way I've seen them using Curtis Samuel. It's like every time they put him in motion, I swear every team knows it's going to be a quick screen to Samuel and they key in on him. I just want to see the Bills use him a little differently.
Use him vertically, run him on some slant patterns, you know, crossing route or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, out of the backfield, too, he is a bit of a weapon there. And I think the teams were keying on him originally, and you know what? Now, maybe they don't key on him as much. Maybe that's not the guy they focus on.
Well, the Miami Dolphins injury report had 10 players, 10, that did not play today, did not practice at all. Some was rest. Jordan Poyer had a rest day. Tyreek Hill had a rest day. Calais Campbell and Teron Armstead had rest days. But let's see. Defensive back Storm Duck, no idea, did not practice.
Great name.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic name. Julian Hill, their tight end, did not practice with a shoulder injury. Javon Holland, their safety, hand and knee issues. He did not practice.
I think the report was he's going to miss significant time.
Okay.
Or need to have season-ending surgery. I think they're going for a second opinion on him.
That's going to really hurt their pass game if he's out, yeah.
Kader Kohu, their corner, is out with a neck. Emmanuel Ogbah was out with a bicep and illness. We'll see if he plays this week. And then Zach Sealer, their defensive end, he was out with an eye injury. Limited in practice for the Dolphins was Jordan Brooks, Rivercraft, Benito Jones, Tyrus Bowser, Robert Jones, and Jonnu Smith. And, of course, absent on this injury report is Tua Tagovailoa, who is going for his second start in a row. And I don't know. We've talked on it before. I hate to have the Tua health conversation, but it feels like, I don't know, scary every time he steps on the field for his own health.
Yeah, and definitely it's like the nature of his concussions where he's like bringing the hands up to his face and he's doing those awkward kind of hand movements or just angles. And yeah, that is a sign of a bad brain injury. So definitely, it doesn't look good to keep him playing, and it's like you just cringe every time he gets hit, even though he's not your quarterback.
Part of it, I think, yeah, for me, I was going to say is Tua's a nice guy. If he was a jerk, sure. Tua's a nice guy. Bills Mafia, I think, likes him, will donate to his charity. I think as a whole, as much as a fan base, the Buffalo Bills Mafia hates Miami, Bills Mafia likes Tua.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, that's the thing, too. Like, same thing with, like, Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar Jackson, the man, is a great guy. I just don't like the Ravens. You know, it's the same thing, right? Like, you like the guy, and that's the thing. Like, if Lamar Jackson got hurt, I truly would be bummed, because the NFL is a less fun place with him not playing. You know what I mean? Watching NFL on Sunday is less fun without being able to watch it. Same thing with Tua. Tua is a fun quarterback to watch. He's a lefty, which is, you know, it's just a little weird to watch. You're like, this isn't right. No pun intended. And, you know, it's just, he's a good guy.
Well, as we lead up to this game, I got to ask, Halloween's tomorrow, so tricks or treats, what are some treats that Bills Mafia could expect out of the Bills this Sunday? What do you think, Alex?
I think a treat would be a comfortable win. You know, they get in front and just, you know, take control early and dominate it from the word go.
How about you, Sean? What's a treat?
Yeah, so definitely a treat would be, like we started the Seattle game, I'm saying defer and get a 3-and-out on defense. It's like start it right and then set up your offense to be like, all right, defense got a 3-and-out, let's show up.
It was noted on at least 10 of their drives they were throwing on first down, which was a sizable improvement after I said run, short run, incomplete pass, punt the ball. Not that script, much better. They must be podcast listeners. That has to be it. All right, defensively, some thoughts in this game. What are some keys here for the Buffalo defense to go out here and get some treats in this one here, Alex?
Play over the top. Got to play over the top. To be honest with you, Tua will give you those opportunities to go get the ball. You got to go up there and get it. You know, he's going to put the ball up there. Go out there and play. We saw it the first week. He'll sling the rock. All the Bills need to do is stay over the top, do their assignments.
Two high safeties?
The Dolphins beat you by pressing those receivers. They have two of the best pure athleticism wide receivers in football. And so, you know what? It's one of those things where you gotta stay over the top. You gotta make sure those guys are staying with you, and do your job. Just do your job. Don't do anybody else's. Just do yours.
Well, and I think it goes without saying here, getting a pass rush on Tua is extremely important in this one. Make him feel uncomfortable. Don't hurt the poor kid, but rattle him.
Yeah.
Force him out of the pocket. Make him make those forced throws. Don't give him time back there. And that's what killed me in some of these other games, that it seemed like, you know, Rudolph is standing back there all the time in the world to go and pick the defense. And finally in the second half, they cook up some blitz pressure and they get him home. Get consistent pressure on Tua and make him uncomfortable early.
Yeah, expect Groot to really get a factor in it, as you said earlier. He's not going to get the sack numbers, but he's definitely going to get the pressure.
Any other keys or final thoughts here on this game, Alex or Sean?
I think Brandon Codrington's going to he's not going to take a kickoff for the house. I think he's going to take it plus the 50 this week.
I like it. Sean, final thoughts?
Josh is 300 yards and two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown.
Back in the 300 column. I like it. I'm going to say James Cook, another 100-yard rushing outing in this one. And I'm going to say Ray Davis goes over at least the half-century mark with a touchdown to boot. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition here of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Make sure you follow us across social media, drafthousesports.com, on facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. Find Sean, our guest here, at Michigan Surf. You can find Alex Jones at TW Callahan, DHS. Find me on Twitter at Bills Bruiser, or find us at DHS Buffalo. All right, so the Bills take on the Miami Dolphins coming up 1 o'clock Saturday from Highmark Stadium here in Orchard Park, New York. For our guest, Sean Eichhorn, and my co-host here, Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills!
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In R Street Media Production.